to God, lover, beloved, and love. I love Pentecost, and I want you to love it too. So here are my top 10 reasons why you should love Pentecost as much as I do. Number 10, it is a red Sunday, a red Sunday. I love the red of Pentecost. It is a vibrant, rich color that reaches forward with the fire of the Spirit and reaches back to the passion of the cross. Red, red for fire, red for blood. At Pentecost, we, the children of God, the followers of Christ, move out into the world, that system Andrew so eloquently spoke of last week, with the same power and energy as the creator of the universe who caused light to shine out of darkness. At Pentecost, we paint ourselves with the color of flames to give light to those who live in the oppression of darkness, to warm the hearts of those chilled by icy fear. Red, red for fire, but red also for blood. The very reason why we can move out into the world with such confidence at Pentecost, such confidence that goodness is stronger than evil, that love is stronger than hate, that light is stronger than darkness, and that life is stronger than death. The reason we can be so confident in that is because God sent Jesus to walk alongside us on our roads to Golgotha, to suffer alongside us, and to experience the depths of human misery on the cross. And why did God do this? So that we would know that God, the one who started this whole thing called life, has not abandoned us to it and to our fear and loneliness, to our suffering and sin, but rather goes to the same place as we go and gives us life beyond it. We move forward into the world with the red of fire at Pentecost, with the confidence of the red of the cross. Pentecost is red. Thank you for wearing red today. You are a witness. That is a martyr in the Greek, to the possibility that comes from the cross of Jesus. Number 9, the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones. What an amazing reading. Them bones, them dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. Pentecost is the time of breathing life into dry bones. The ancient Hebrew prophet Ezekiel was taken by the scruff of his neck one day to a valley filled with dry bones. "Whose bones are these?" he asks. God takes a deep breath and sighs. "These are my children, the ones I formed from the dust of the earth. They have been uncreated. They have reverted to their pre-created state of breathlessness. They are not dead. They are uncreated, and it is time to make them again. Prophesy to these dusty bones, Ezekiel. Call forth the wind of creation. Call forth my breath and tell these bones to live again." And they do. By stages, of course. First, the bones reconnect. You know, the hip bone connects to the backbone, and the backbone connects to the shoulder bone, and then muscle and skin cover the bones so that they look like bodies strewn all over the valley. But then the wind comes. The breath of God comes and fills the lungs, and a whole multitude stands, reborn, recreated to be a witness, that's a martyr in Greek, to God and to the capacity for life in the world. Well, the message is clear to us. We too are like those bones. We need renewal and recreation. And does God leave us alone? No, God sends God's prophet to prophesy to the dry, dusty, clattering bones of our lives and begins to bring us, to knit us back together again, to embody us in the world again, to breathe new life into our lungs again. Children of God, listen to the prophets who call the breath of God into you, and be a prophet to those around you. Not like a soothsayer who manipulates people by saying, "I and only I have a word from the Lord to you," or "the end is nigh," but like a true prophet who sees the needs of those around them and helps by bringing life to lifeless places, and flesh to fleshless places, and breath to breathless places. I love Pentecost because in Pentecost we are all anointed by God to be prophets of life in the world. This Pentecost, when you are lifted by the scruff of your neck and placed in your various valleys of dry bones, lift up your voice and prophesy to the wind, come, Holy Spirit, come. Number 8. I love Pentecost because I love the hymns of Pentecost. Like the ancient lyric and melody of Veni Sanctus Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit, our souls inspire, and lighten with celestial fire. Or maybe you know this one. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew. Or do you know this one? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Or maybe you like one of these new ones. She comes sailing on the wind, her wings flashing in the sun. And then there's one of my favorites. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. I love the music. I wonder if you have a favorite Holy Spirit ditty. Number 7, the wind. Oh, I love Pentecost because of the ancient Hebrew word for wind, the ruach. Can you say that ruach of God that hovers over the confusing emptiness before creation? That wind or breath or spirit of God that separates the waters of the Red Sea so that God's children can cross on dry land and find freedom from slavery. That wind or spirit or breath that fills the mouth of David and the prophets to sing the praises of God. That ruach, say it again, ruach, that stirs up the prophet to preach good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. The wind is a funny thing. Many years ago, my sister and I were painting our family home in Calgary. It was a beautiful summer day, clear sky, calm, not a rustle in the leaves of the trees. I was perched a bit too precariously, I think, on the edge of the roof, and Margaret, my sister, was painting from the ground below. Suddenly, and I do mean suddenly, I heard a noise. Not too loud at first, but it kept growing and growing. I looked around, and I saw a tree up the road begin to sway. The leaves begin to shake, and then the next tree, and then the next. It was like a living thing, the wind jumping from tree to tree. One minute a tree was in motion, the next it was still, and it was coming nearer and getting louder. I laugh now thinking about it because it was so surreal. I yelled, I said, Margaret, run! And I pressed myself as flat as I could on the roof as we were suddenly engulfed in a fierce gust of wind. I think we screamed. I think Margaret fell up the stairs as she was trying to get away. I thought I was going to fall. And then the wind jumped. It flew to the next tree and then the next, and the sound of the rustling died away. It was gone. Ruach, Pentecost. I don't know if there is any spiritual lesson from this experience, except that God's ruach is not a tame thing. We cannot control her. We can't contrive her. Ruach, spirit, exists, and it will blow down the structures of violence and apathy suddenly and without warning. So prepare yourself, and you might scream. Number 6, the fire. Pentecost is fire. Like sparks running through the stubble, it begins a movement that over the course of time will work its way into every human heart to strengthen it as a kiln strengthens clay. It will create in us a resiliency that will help us overcome personal, political, or social obstacles to God's plan for the world, Pentecost fire. Number 5, the languages, the tongues. In Pentecost, we are given a new language to be able to proclaim the goodness of God to the whole earth, and no one is left out. I love this part of the reading in the Acts of the Apostles. Everyone is included in Pentecost. It is a global movement, and any move to exclude people works to erode the very foundations of Pentecost. From Pentecost, the church goes out into the entire world to witness to the love of God, the Creator, and to invite people into a new way of living without fear, without violence, without hate, with forgiveness, without prejudice. As we become more and more a Pentecostal people, we will learn a new language. And I'm speaking figuratively here, but we will learn new languages so that those who have not understood the love of God can hear our words and see our actions and be captivated by them and be brought into God's great family. What language do we need to learn today? Do we need to learn the language of the millennial? The language of the atheist? The language of the forests and trees? The language of reconciliation? God's Pentecostal people are linguists, finding new ways to speak about God so that every person might hear the great things the Creator of heaven and earth has done and is doing in the world today. Number four, the joy. It is Pentecost. Wave your hands in the air. Wave them like you really do care. Shout aloud. Sing for joy. God has not left us alone, but has come to us in Jesus and in the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Number three, hope. At Pentecost, hope and hype become synonyms. It is a mountaintop experience. From the heights of Pentecost, we have a glimpse of the end, when all God's children shall be free, and the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. Drink this hope in today, right now. Tomorrow will have sufficient evils of its own. Today, do not worry. And drink the same spirit which caused the ancient crowds to wonder if the first followers had not been drinking just a little too much wine. Number two, the church. I love Pentecost because I love the church, and I know that the church means many different things to many different people, and the church is experienced in many different ways, sometimes really negative ways, by many different people. But here is what I mean by the church and why I love it, especially at this Pentecost time. The church is the movement inaugurated by Jesus to continue the work God began at the incarnation, to help the people of this world realign to the ways of justice, peace, and joy, out of the ways of violence, hate, and apathy. The church is the people of God who have died to selfishness and rise from the waters of baptism to self-giving love and witness. That's martyr in the Greek. To the work of Jesus who heals the sick, casts out demons, feeds the hungry, gives people the ability to see clearly, lifts people up from the ground and helps them move on again, calms storms, and yes, yes, even raises people from the dead. This work of Jesus was continued by the apostles and the saints of long ago, who commissioned the next generation, who commissioned the next generation, all the way to us today, so that there might be an everlasting witness, that is martyr in the Greek, to the ways of God. To speak against those systems and structures of war and economic inequality and slavery and racism and other means whereby God's children are controlled and used and disregarded and maligned. To practice the spiritual acts of mercy, kindness, justice, and hope. Pentecost is an initiation, a baptism into the continuing incarnation of God. And if you have not been baptized into this work, talk to me. Talk to Andrew. We need more witnesses, that is martyr in the Greek. We need more hands and feet and tongues of Jesus. Are you concerned about Israel and Palestine? Come, be baptized by water and the Spirit into the church. Are you concerned about climate change? Come, be baptized by water and Spirit into the life of God. Are you frustrated by the economic systems of the world? Come, be baptized and confirmed. Are you flummoxed by the price of housing? Come, be baptized, be confirmed. Are you hungry, thirsty, tired, and worn out? Come, be baptized by water and the Spirit, and the same Spirit that was in Christ will be in you. This is the life and ministry of the Pentecostal church. And one, the final reason why I love Pentecost and why I think you should love Pentecost too, the Holy Spirit. That love that binds the lover and the beloved together, the Holy Spirit, the love that unites us to God, the Holy Spirit, the power and energy of creation, and as our gospel reading names her, our advocate, the one who speaks on our behalf, the one we can depend upon to have our back, our friend, our helper, the great love which inspires and compels. Yes, let us breathe in the love of God and breathe out. A second time, let us breathe in the love of God and breathe out. And a third time, let us breathe in the spirit of love and let us go out in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.